Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Well, we're getting close to the weekend. That means a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. Jane Duker is off, which, as I always say, that affords the rest of the panel a lot more time to weigh in on things. She's got a couple of Fridays off. State Rep Steve Butts, who, of course, is running for the State Senate, is going to pinch hit for Jane. State Senator Nick Schroer will be here, and John Gaskin also on the panel. All the fun stuff in the 4 o'clock hour with Paul Hall on entertainment. We'll talk baseball and football with Frank Cusimano. Governor Kehoe will join me in the 5 o'clock hour tomorrow, 24 hours from now. Governor Mike Kehoe will have a great discussion with him. Right now, we have Congresswoman Ann Wagner from the 2nd District, who I believe is back in the district. Are you back home right now?
Yes, I am. I'm back home. Everyone's observing in Congress, and frankly, the Jewish community across our world, country and world are observing Yom Kippur, so there are no votes today. The Senate's going to go at it again tomorrow on Friday, and right now, pending a potential breakthrough, we'll be back in voting on Monday morning. So that's the plan.
All right. That's the plan. Okay. But what's your scenario for how all of this gets settled? To me, it doesn't seem like, even though they're trying to, make this about Obamacare and health care and everything, because they think, and I think to a certain extent, the polling shows that that might be a winning message for the Democrats. But how does this resolve itself? Because I don't see, anyone caving on the Republican side, right? You guys did your work in the House. You sent it over to the Senate. The Senate's rules a little different here and there. We sit in a shutdown. So you think that it seems like there are Senate Democrats that are trying to get on board here, and you saw some, meetings that took place in the Senate chambers this week. But what's your best guess here, Ann?
Yeah, you're quite right. And I will just say to you, as I have said repeatedly over my time in Congress, and to all your listeners and everyone in the 2nd District, a government shutdown is a complete waste of taxpayer dollars. It's bad for governance. It hurts our economy and workers. And we, yes, in the House, I voted once again to keep our government open and funded. And the House GOP voted 217 to 212. And this is a clean continuing resolution that the Democrats, frankly, Mark, have supported at least 13 times in the past. This is, frankly, the Biden continuing resolution. We're just doing, President Trump's only been in for 7 months. We're doing our appropriations process right now. There are no poison pills on this continuing resolution. There is nothing partisan. We're trying to buy a little more time, 6-7 more weeks, because we have a number of these appropriations bills that are in conference. We've moved another two out of the House. We're hoping to get some of our appropriation work, if not all of it, done and complete here. So it's gone to the Senate, and the Schumer shutdown ensues, and he is terrified of his far left progressive base and AOC, who wants to primary him. He got punched in March when he also voted for this same continuing resolution. But I do see movement.
Okay.
We had four at one point Democrats that voted for this in the Senate, for what we passed in the House. Again, we passed this in the House, did our work, kept the government funded. Fetterman, Senator King, and Senator Cortez Masto, and Senator Shaheen was a yes, Mark. And your listeners should know that she was marched back down to the floor by Schumer and made to change her vote.
Oh, I did not know that part. By the way, you did lose Rand Paul on the Republican side, but he never votes for these things.
We always lose Rand Paul on the Republican side.
Right.
So.
Yes.
Something in the water in Kentucky. We have it with Representative Massey on our side of the aisle, too. It's a Kentucky thing.
Don't get me started on Tom Massey. Oh, my God. He's a piece of work. Congressman Ann Wagner is here. All right, so let me... And by the way, your phone line is not spectacular here, so I don't know if there's a way you can move to a different portion of where you are. But let's talk about the health care claims here, because as I indicated at the beginning, the Democrats think that this is a winning message. They want to make this about these Obamacare subsidies and whether or not, and this seems to be a nuanced question this week, whether or not some of the money for health care is going to illegal migrants that are in this town. CNN's making the case, because I've been listening to them a lot. Like, no, you guys got all this wrong. You're not talking about any, money that goes to illegals. And, you know, they're taking a different stand that the Democrats are. So what does the truth on this sometimes lay in the middle here or not?
No. Let me tell you the truth. The truth is that the Democrats are demanding $1.5 trillion in additional spending just to get us to November 21st. Again, this is a little short gap measure here that we're trying to do while we finish our work. And yes, what they are asking for is $1.1 trillion in taxpayer-funded Medicaid for illegal immigrants, again, taken out of the One Big Beautiful Bill. They're also wanting to roll back the widely supported rural hospital fund of $50 billion, okay? And they're trying to undo the work requirements in Medicaid. So that all adds up to about $1.1 trillion. There's $350 billion that they are fighting for the COVID, let me underscore, COVID-era Obamacare subsidies. Now, let's be clear. This was a temporary program with zero bipartisan support, by the way, that on top of the real original set Obamacare subsidies during COVID allowed families to have an additional subsidy. And there were no means tested on it, no guardrails. So there were people, truly, that were making $500,000, a couple making $500,000 a year, $500,000.
Paying $74 a month. Yeah, got $74 a month for healthcare.
I mean, like, it should infuriate you. So that's what they want, along with the illegal immigrant Medicaid and no work requirements. They want that rolled back, getting rid of the rural hospital fund, and then they want another $500 million for NPR and PBS.
Yeah, no, that's off the table.
So all this stuff is not happening, man. I mean,
exactly. So why do they think they have any leverage here? Because I don't see it. I really do try to look at things from both sides, but I don't see how they could, you know, figure that in the end this is going to somehow be the Republicans caving. I think the more likely, and we indicated this, the more likely scenario is that you get enough Democrats on board to say, look, this is, you know, this is what we did in the spring. We're going to do the same thing here, and then we're going to negotiate some of these other things at the end of the year. But then don't we also face another CR, or do we have to finally, do appropriations by the end of the year?
Hopefully. Yeah. I mean, we certainly will get a good chunk of them knocked out. And that's what's key here. As I said, three of them are in a conference right now, which means the Senate and the House have agreed. They're working on a package. They've passed out of our chambers. We also have two more, including the defense author's appropriation that is huge. It's half of our entire budget is been done out of the House. We're going to try and get that done and finished. And so, yes, I believe that there are a number of these things that we can finish up. And these if they want to negotiate something, you know, we can look at negotiating. But these things don't even expire till the end of the year. We're not at the point of negotiating. We're at the point of buying a little more time to finish our work, their work in the Senate. And they've been more lax than we have in the House, and our work, frankly, in the House. It is not negotiating time, so to speak. It's finishing our work time. And the House knows, as do all the Republicans in the Senate, our leadership, the President of the United States, they all know that a government shutdown is bad. Bad, bad, bad. Hurts workers, hurts the economy. We're not for that. And we had a member call yesterday with the OMB director, Russ Vogt. And I will say this to your listeners, that and he assured all of us that the He wants everyone to feel, as few disruptions as possible, and that we will continue with things like Social Security services, Medicare, VA clinics and hospitals will be open. The Postal Service, not that it's any good, but sorry, I'm off message there.
Yeah, no, but not inaccurately off message, that's for sure.
Not inaccurately.
Right.
I'm battling that one too, my friend. I'm after USPS big time. Weather services, crop insurance, TSA, all of those things will be open. They're even keeping museums and parks open to the extent that they can. So we're not trying to make this a grave hardship on the American people, but we are going to have to start canceling some things. And I believe it was announced that they were canceling a number of these, I'm going to call them kind of infrastructure transit projects in New York City, the Hudson Tunnel project and the Second Avenue subway project. That was $26 billion. So we just pulled that back in to fund some things. And they're also canceling some of the green energy projects too.
I'm a big fan of that.
Billion.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So we have made movement there, and I don't know what OMB and the executive branch will do next, but here's the problem. The Democrats have handed the key to our constitutional Article 1 authority right over to the White House and to the administration. So that's what you do when you shut down the government, which I don't understand why they would want to do that either. None of this makes sense. It's all political. And I'm going to tell you, we're not negotiating until the Democrats reopen the government. They must reopen the government, and we can have get our work done to the extent we can, and we'll have
negotiations. And then talk about things, yeah. Well, that's the way it should
be.
And I think there would be every expectation that there's not going to be any caving here. Congresswoman Ann Wagner, let me take you into another subject. Last Friday, I had been invited by a friend of mine who was doing some charity work up in North City and in North County, you know, helping with tornado recovery. And he said, Mark, you got to go up there. And I had not been up there to tour. You know, I've seen a little of Forest Park, but had not gone to some of the more devastated areas. So Pete Foley is his name, and great guy, retired, but trying to help out. He takes me up there. I mean, there's so much devastation. It's just unbelievable. Then there's a story, you know, in the Post today. I don't know if you saw this, but Senator Hawley is slamming FEMA's response. And there was a piece in the Wall Street Journal a couple of days ago that specifically talked about FEMA and the response. And they, you know, they focused here on St. Louis. So, and these are, I don't know, you were up there early on when all this happened, but these are neighborhoods that simply, they won't be neighborhoods for maybe decades. If we don't get in here, the debris is still sitting there. And then I don't know what happens with, you know, redevelopment or what can happen in the future. But this is a pretty big crisis for the city of St. Louis, isn't it?
It really is. And especially for not just the individual homeowners that have just had their world ripped apart, but it's also bad for their neighbors and for property values. The longer this goes, there are some studies and statistics that are out that if things are not cleaned up and put back in order by 6 or 9 months, the property values of the entire neighborhood and area can go substantially down. So we have given, I mean, the governor got every penny that he asked for and then some from the U.S. government. We fought for it here as a delegation and in a bipartisan way, and he got every single penny that's of disaster relief aid that they've asked for, not only for the city of St. Louis, but for ones that happened and then in the county and in some of my areas of the second district in Franklin County and beyond. But yes, that money has been sent out, and I agree. FEMA's got to get moving on this much more quickly, and the city of St. Louis has got to engage. I saw the mayor down at of the city of St. Louis down at the NGA opening that I had the honor of being a part of on last Friday morning. And we were talking about the money that they have, the people that have pitched in. There is outside money, private money that has been made available. We need the contract workers and others to actually get in there and
yes.
start with the construction. That is a part of it also, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, no, the main thing, I'm glad you reminded me, because the one thing I will tell you about seeing things, I didn't see very much work being done. I saw a lot of devastation. I saw a lot of, you know, bricks. I did not see a lot of, you know, tractors or cleanup. So I don't know. I'd love to help, and I think a lot of people would help with volunteers, but these are big projects, and you know, you need machinery and people who are experienced at some of this. Hey, I'm going to have a guest on here, my friend Mark Sutherland here, in a couple of minutes, and let me just touch on this with you, because we're going to highlight this announcement that British Airways is going to do a direct flight between Lambert and Heathrow and London. Hey, we focus on all the negative in St. Louis. That's some pretty damn good news, isn't it, Ann?
Woohoo! And I am so happy. We have really, really fought for these transatlantic flights. We have one obviously going into Germany, which is highly successful. But if we can get one directly into London Heathrow, that is magnificent. A direct flight there, and that is a feeder hub, as you well know, Mark, to the rest of Europe.
Yeah.
So if you're doing business, if you want to go for pleasure or travel or with your family, that is going to be the way to go. And I applaud it highly, and exciting to see. And I can't wait to hear some more of the specifics. It's going to lift the entire region and really be great, I think, for economic growth. Because remember, too, you're going to see then other cities that don't have international flights, and there aren't tons of them that do, they'll be coming here to our Lambert Airport and using our facilities and our city and our region in order to catch that connection.
Instead of going to New York or Toronto or Chicago, absolutely.
Or Dulles or wherever. You know,
I'll admit that I have some questions about the incentives, but I know that with Lufthansa, you know, the incentives expired after 2 years, and they decided, look, there was enough, you know, demand, and that's what I'm hoping here. And I think there will be. I think this is going to be really successful. Absolutely. All right, listen. Well, enjoy your time back in the district, and then what are you heading back next week, and hoping that this can be settled.
It's going to be brief. I will be. We're back out. At it on Monday, and our leadership's coming up with a plan. But as I said, we did our work. We funded the government. We kept it open. It is time for the Democrats, certainly in the Senate, to stop playing games. It's been broken. As I said, there were three or four that wanted it. I know that Ossoff has got a big race. Senator Ossoff needs to vote for this. Klobuchar. I bet we can get Peters. I can get us to 60 in the Senate in my own mind. So let's get her done. Let's make sure that we're taking care of our workers and our economy, and making sure we don't have any kind of lengthy shutdown of the government.
All right, keep us posted. Have a great weekend. I appreciate it.
You bet. You too.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, don't forget, we have a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. Should be a good one. Steve Butz will be pinch-hitting for Jane, State Senator Nick Schwer, and John Gaskin all on the panel. We'll have Paul Hall on entertainment and Frank Cusimano in the 4 o'clock hour as well. One of the topics we'll talk about, look, it's not very often, if we're being honest, that we can talk about positives happening in the city of St. Louis or for the city of St. Louis. And I will say that I feel like this new flight to London, which was announced yesterday, is a pretty big deal. And we'll talk about that on the roundtable, but Mark Sutherland is here. He is His Majesty's Honorary Consul to Great Britain and Northern Ireland to the state of Missouri. He's also the owner of Stone Ledge Distillery in Defiance. We're going to talk about some fun stuff happening out there. But Mark, welcome back. How are you?
I am very, very excited. Some fantastic news that's been a long time coming.
First of all, I want to tell you that I wasn't sure, and this is a short segment, so I don't blame you for doing it on the phone. But if you had come in person, guess what you would have been wearing on your way out of the studio?
Oh, yes, your face.
I have the mark. Well, luckily my face is not on the T-shirt. It's actually a cool T-shirt.
You need to improve it.
I have my Mark Reardon Show T-shirt for you. I will put it in the mail. You are on my. I got three people I'm sending shirts to, and you're at the top of that list. But I did bring one in today, just in case you were coming in person. They're really nice. They're soft. I mean, if you just want to use it to wash the car, you can do whatever you want. But I think you're going to like it. All right, so let's talk about this news about the flight to London. I've been a little critical. I've taken two international flights on Lufthansa. Have not been my best experience. But we've been kind of, you know, restricted to that when it comes to international travel. This announcement from British Airways is awesome, isn't it?
It's absolutely fantastic. Now, British Airways, that is the way to travel. They know how to treat you right. And, I mean, I immigrated actually to the U.S. on a direct flight from London to St. Louis. And so to get this direct flight back starting in April is phenomenal. It cuts it could be a 13, 14-hour maybe longer travel day down to just 8 hours, which is fantastic. You go to bed at 10 o'clock on the flight and you wake up, it's noon in London and you're there. So phenomenally excited, not just for the tourist travel, but for all the economic connections and the ease of business going back and forth as well.
Yeah, so to your point, I think people understand this, but you would ordinarily have to fly to New York or maybe Toronto or something like that, and then that's going to take, you know, you're going to have a couple-hour layover. So I think, and there has to be demand for this. First of all, London is an awesome city. It's been about 10 or 11 years since I've been there, and I always recommend it because it's so, first of all, it's so safe. It's so easy to get around on the tube, and there's so many things to see. So for people listening who have not, you know, even thought about going to the UK, I would highly consider this. Now, this is something that's going to kick in next spring, is my understanding. But you can book flights now, can't you, Mark?
Correct. April 19th, I believe, is when it goes, the first flight. It's on sale right now. And there's actually some really good discounts for the first few months as well. And it's going to be seasonal to start, so April through October.
That makes sense,
though. And then, based on demand,
yeah.
then we'll potentially see a year-round. And if Lufthansa is any indication, that demand will be there. We're already seeing about 400 people every day flying from St. Louis to Europe. So we know there's traffic. And so this will just increase that and make it a lot easier for people in the Midwest to get into London and then on towards the rest of Europe and the rest of the world. Heathrow goes everywhere in the world very, very easily.
So there's a $4.5 million incentive here over 3 years. But one thing that should be noted is, and, you know, sometimes I have questions about these things. What's the ROI? I think there's a potential of a strong ROI here. In fact, maybe some evidence is, you know, the Lufthansa flights after the two-year incentive package expired, they're continuing and there's still demand for that. So I think that's great news. So
correct.
Good
yeah,
job.
They're,
I don't know.
They're continuing and they actually increased.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you played a role in this, but I'm a fan, and I was happy to see that announcement yesterday. Before I let you go, though, and I think I've told you this before, look, the Augusta Defiance area in this particular region of Missouri is just beautiful. I've said this before. I could take someone. I always used to say this about Door County, Wisconsin, which is another one of my favorite places. You ever been there, Sutherland?
I have not.
Okay.
You've talked about it a lot,
yeah.
So I need to visit at some point.
But what I've said is I could take someone, blindfold them, take them on a helicopter, whatever, drop them in Door County. They'd think that they were out east somewhere, like on the ocean. In this case, you know, people think of Missouri, I think, as really flat because of Illinois, but it's so beautiful out there. You know, I used to ride my bike quite a bit out there. But you got a great, awesome Oktoberfest that's going on in Defiance, right?
We do. It's kicking off. It kicked off yesterday. It goes all the way into November. So every weekend, all the venues around here are doing Oktoberfest stuff, music, food, drinks. We've got a whole special menu of German drinks at Stone Ledge Distillery, but Billy Bush is doing stuff. Good News, Circle Six, Defiance Ridge, Chandler Hill, Sugar Creek, Judgment Tree, all these different places in Defiance. So you can bounce around every weekend and even during the week as well and enjoy an Oktoberfest is just 20 minutes from St. Louis County.
Yes, so there is a website for this, which is DefianceOktoberfest.com. October spelled with the K. That's the only trick there. DefianceOktoberfest.com. I don't know where the other one would take in. I'm not sure I want to risk that. But that
I
sounds like
that one as well.
Yeah. Well, look, that's a good, smart. But, you know, look, you got beautiful, beautiful weather here. I mean, we've still stayed
gorgeous
very
weather.
Warm during the days, but the weather in the weekend is going to be fantastic. And October really is. I saw someone put a poll up. I don't even know why this was, you know, a question mark, but what's your favorite fall month of the year? It has to be October, right? Hands down, October.
Yes.
cooler temperatures, not too cold. All right, Mark Sutherland, great to have you on the show. Thanks for promoting the the new flight to London, and have fun with Oktoberfest. I'll try to get out there this month because, again, it is one of my favorite places. I want my daughter. I don't know if I can bring my daughter. Let me ask that question. If I come out to the Katy Trail and ride the bike, are there all only adult things?
No, every venue has at least one section is all ages.
Okay, good.
Most of them are fully all ages.
Yeah, I promise not to get her all hopped up on wine. Mark Sutherland, we'll talk soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Reardon Roundtable tomorrow as we approach the weekend should be a lot of fun. My friend Tim Summer is going to talk music in the 5 o'clock hour. We always talk music and have a lot of fun. I do want his opinion of Bad Bunny at the Super Bowl. I don't get it, but maybe Tim will present a different side of this. We talk about, and obviously we're in the middle of this government shutdown right now. We've been talking about that all afternoon. I've been talking about the debt and deficit for many decades and how to, approach it, how to fix it. Is it a crisis for the U.S.? Is it not a crisis? John Tamney has a very different perspective on all this. He's written a book about it called Deficit Delusion, Why Everything Left, Right, and Supply Side Tells You About the National Debt is Wrong. And he is the editor of Real Clear Markets, the vice president of FreedomWorks, John Tamney. Welcome back to 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Talk a little bit before we get into this, what you do at FreedomWorks and what FreedomWorks is all about.
Well, I am actually, I left FreedomWorks because it closed down.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Head of the Parkview Institute, which is, I started it at FreedomWorks. I officed out of FreedomWorks while doing it, and I'm just, my goal here is to slowly change the economics discussion, little bits and pieces here and there, toward a more optimistic, more informed one. I think people who say they can change the world are probably naive, but I think we can slowly change the discussion, and one of the ways I'm trying to do it is hoping to change how people see deficits and debt.
So let me just toss out my mantra that I sometimes lean on, and you tell me if there's anything to this. One of the issues that I've had with my fellow conservatives or Republicans, maybe not as many of the conservatives, just the people who have R's in front of their name, is nobody, and this is really everyone in Washington, no one has the guts and courage to talk about the entitlement. So you could talk about Doge, you could talk about all these things till you're blue in the face, but you have to address Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. And I think that there are realistic fixes for Social Security in particular. Now, your approach is a little different here because you're going to say, Mark, no, that, we got to do more than that, I think, and get creative. But just on that front in particular, you can't get to this with discretionary funding or spending, rather. So you have to have the entitlements involved in the conversation. True or false?
False.
Wow.
I argue in the deficit delusion that the worst thing you could do if you want to restrain government would be to reform Social Security and Medicare. I know that's nuts, but that's my argument. It's the second to last chapter. Whatever you do, don't let them reform them, and here's why. They're bad programs. Yeah, what monumental mistakes, unnecessary, all that. But if you reform them, you suddenly free up trillions of dollars for the political class to start spending. And that is a dangerous path, because once you give them all that fresh powder, all these new programs will begin, and they'll grow and they'll grow and they'll grow. And so I look at Social Security and Medicare precisely because these two big mistakes take up more and more of the budget, they're actually our way to restrain the growth of government, because those two things plus interest payments are the biggest line items in the budget. Well, let them swallow it. All the while, let's have a real discussion. We have a problem of too much revenue, and it's going to explode in the future, higher and higher. We've got to cut taxes now so low that revenue into the government declines. And if so, it's going to be harder for government to borrow. And so I'm making a very opposite argument. The problem is we have too much revenue, and that's why the debt grows.
Well, I think, and I don't discount that, because I think that there's a problem here. Here's how I would put it. Look, I was a Reagan Republican. I voted for Reagan when I was, you know, I think maybe 19 years old, the first presidential race I ever voted in. So I've been a fiscal conservative, not as much a social conservative, but I've been very concerned about the growth and the scope of government. And in many ways, the growth and the scope of government has never gone down, never goes down. It always goes up. Even now in this government shutdown, we're talking about cuts that aren't really cuts. As you know, John, they're just spending levels from previous years. So I kind of understand the angle from which you're coming from, but then how do you fix the debt and deficit issue, or should we not worry about that?
Well, so it's so interesting. So you're a Reagan guy, I'm a Reagan guy. Well, okay, so imagine if you had told your younger self in 1980, hey, watch, Reagan's going to get into office, he's going to cut taxes, revenue is going to, into the treasury is going to double during his presidency, and oh, guess what? Reagan's going to shape, in many ways, economic policy for the next few decades, and revenue into Treasury is going to double, triple, quadruple. It's going to be at 14 times by 2025. What would you have said? Would you have guessed that the deficit would be lower, that national debt would be lower in 2025, or more?
More.
I don't mean to speak. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but you're one of the few people who would have guessed that. Most of us said, oh, well, no, with all this revenue, see, we're going to be able to pay off the debt and bring it down to zero. But logic dictates the opposite. I mean, think about how much could you borrow on your credit card when you were 19 or 21 versus where you are today?
Significant. Yes. Yes. I believe one of my first limits was 500, and that was back in the day when you could just do the carbon copy machine that kind of swiped over it, so they never checked. So I was over my limit anyway back then, John.
Well, see, but see, there you go.
Yeah.
See, a $500 limit. But see, now you can borrow a lot more. Well, of course you can. The credit card companies trust your future. They trust your present and future earnings more. Well, government's no different. Precisely because government continues to take in more and more tax dollars from Americans that get richer and richer all the time, it's no surprise that deficits went up under Reagan. And that they went up subsequently, it's not that Reagan wasn't for limited government, but politicians exist to spend. And so when the revenue is increasing for them, so is increasing their ability to borrow in the future because, oh, well, up, up, up revenue, well, we can lend to them. And if the world lines up to lend to us, we have debt because we have too much revenue,
so,
not because we have too little.
Is the situation, I just thought about this, but is the situation with the, you know, skyrocketing costs of higher education, for example, because of the low interest loans, that's a bit of a microcosm of what you're talking about to a certain extent?
I don't think so. I honestly think, isn't education, you're in St. Louis, so look at the top private schools in St. Louis and compare the tuition in 1980 to 2025, because the federal government isn't lending toward that, yet tuition skyrocketed in all those fancy schools in St. Louis.
Right, right.
And that's true across the country. With education, look, I'm not defending government student loans. Again, I think government shouldn't be doing any of this stuff. But honestly, if you want to ask me, you know, why is tuition much higher at Wash U than it was in 1980? Well, because it's not just Americans demanding seats in these fancy schools, but it's the whole world.
Yeah, no, that's true.
No Chinese could afford Wash U in 1980. Well, China's an increasingly prosperous country. I think that's a good thing. Now they send their kids to the top U.S. schools across the country.
Yep, absolutely. John Tammy is here. His book is called Deficit Delusion, Why Everything Left, Right, and Supply Side Tells You About the National Debt is Wrong. Let me ask you this. Let's say you're right. I'm not discounting that you're wrong about this. How do we, kind of going back to my point about the unwillingness on politicians to have tough discussions about entitlements, how do we get to a point with this divisiveness in this country, John, where we can have a serious conversation about some of this? I happen to be friends with Paul Ryan, the former speaker, former vice presidential candidate. I've known him since he was a freshman in Congress, lived up in Milwaukee. But he's like persona non grata, you know, with much of my audience right now and many people on the Republican side, because he is deemed a rhino. Well, there's a guy that talked about policy and serious policy, but that seemingly, there's no room for that anymore.
No, you're right. And how do we solve this? Okay, start the laugh track. We have to reduce taxes so substantially that the flow of dollars from the richest Americans plummets. As in, we've got to probably reduce them to below 1%, to a small percentage of 1% on federal taxes, so that the revenue from the Elon Musks of the world declines so much that government revenue declines substantially, and the whole world says, oh, wait a second, they are serious about reducing the inflow of dollars to the U.S. Treasury, so we would be fools to lend to them anymore. And so you hear that, and again, start the laugh track, but let's have this conversation in 10 years, 20 years. I'll bet you two things, that the deficit is much higher because we're not going to do what I say we should do.
Of course.
And I'll add, borrowing costs for the U.S. Treasury will be down. As in, I keep saying, one of the surest sign we have so much that borrowing costs for Treasury are going down is all the debt, as in the world trusts us so much to pay the money back. And so I'm merely making the point, if we have the discussion now and say we've got a serious problem of soaring revenues in the future, you could position yourself to actually stop the debt here and start paying it off. But if government revenue is going to continue to grow like this, as it's done since Reagan was in office, you're going to see debt go up, 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 and borrowing costs go down, 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 because the world's going to say, oh my gosh, the U.S. is dense with billionaires and trillionaires. This debt will be easy for them to pay off.
Yeah, look, I like, there's a lot to chew on here, and I like the different approach because I think we need more of that. John Tammy, again, the book is Deficit Delusion. Thanks so much for joining us here in St. Louis on 97.1 FM Talk. I appreciate it, John.
Thanks for having me.
Well, the weekend is upon us. That means the Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. Should be a good one, too. Jane is off. We miss her, but it does afford, as I've mentioned, some of the other panelists to say maybe a bit more. Steve Butts pinch hitting for Jane. He's a state representative running for state senate. Current state senator Nick Shore will be here. John Gaskin also on the panel tomorrow. My friend Chris Smith is going to be here in the 4 o'clock hour on the phone to promote some things that are going on in his life. Chris is the man who was shot in the head the night before Thanksgiving 4 years ago, 48 hours came in last year, did a piece on Chris, and I was briefly featured in that, but we became friends. I think a lot of you know the backstory of that. Before he was shot, and I was like one of the first people that he called in the aftermath of being shot in the head. He had a woman that was with him who died, unfortunately, on their first date. In fact, if you go online to Paramount Plus and you're looking for the 48 hours episode, it's called Fatal First Date. But Chris is doing great in his recovery. And he's got some news to share and some events that he's taking part in. So we'll do that tomorrow afternoon right here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, here we are, and I don't know. We've been talking about here throughout the day what the end result here is going to be of the shutdown. I do think it's probably going to be relatively short. But here, on the healthcare front, we talked about this with Ann Wagner earlier this hour with some other guests as well. What are the Dems saying, and are they lying? Carolyn says, yes, they are.
I have the Democrat proposed continuing resolution right here, where you can read in the text a provision that would remove the provision that Republicans passed in President Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill to ensure that illegal aliens in our country cannot receive Medicaid and taxpayer-funded health care benefits. That was happening under the Biden administrations, and the Democrats endorsed it, encouraged it, and vocally supported it.
Yeah, so here is a little bit more Carolyn, because she was on fire on this.
And now Democrats, rather than just passing a clean continuing resolution to keep the government funded, which is what the president and Republicans want, they submitted a continuing resolution that puts this poison pill back into law. That's what they want to do. And it's completely unacceptable.
Well, she's not wrong there. It is unacceptable, but we'll continue to hash it all out. And I'm not so sure we'll have any clearer picture by 3 p.m. tomorrow, but have a great night. Enjoy the football game. There's baseball on tonight. Beautiful weather. We're back at 3 p.m. tomorrow for the Reardon Roundtable.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.